Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome in the name of Christ. Welcome to those who follow Christ faithfully and those who faithfully doubt. Welcome to those who believe a little or a lot and those who don't know what they believe. Welcome tall and short, young and old, new faces and old friends. You are welcome here no matter what your shoe size is or your hair color. You are welcome no matter what your family looks like, whether you came in a crowd or came alone. No matter who you are, where you came from, or where you are going, you are welcome here for an hour or a lifetime. Reverend Melinda is still on maternity leave, so I am blessed to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Lizzie Michael, and this is the church that I grew up in. Are there any announcements this morning before we begin worship? Alice and Mom.
Well, to all of you who signed the cards last week for our college students, our college student care package, thank you. I will put out the cards again. I'm not sure if Julie is going to be here with her lovely display that she made, but we are sending a little care package to our college students who are far away from home to remind them that they have a church family here that loves them. So we'll put the cards out again in Fellowship Hall if you would like to sign the card. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like the queen of the sign-up sheets. So I just want to remind everybody that there is a sign-up sheet in Fellowship Hall for St. Pat's Supper and Auction, which is this coming Saturday. So you've got to sign up today and pay if you can. And there's another sign-up sheet for, oh God, what was the next one for?
Bundy Thursday.
The brunch, yes, for the brunch. You don't have to sign up just that you're coming. We just need you to sign up if you plan on bringing something so we know what else to put on the table to balance it off. And then next week there will be another sign-up sheet for Monday, Thursday. We just need to know how many people are coming so we are sure to have enough soup and bread and desserts. So thank you.
Thank you.
And the announcements go on forever. World Care this month, we are collecting mac and cheese. We collected, last count it was 98 cans of tomato products, but I think we breached 100. I think we went over the edge after I counted. One request, after service we need a little bit of help loading all those tomato products into Bev's car because they can't lift, so I'm going to need somebody to help me out with that. The special offering this month is being taken today. It is one great hour of sharing. There's an envelope in your bulletin. One great hour of sharing is one of the main UCC offerings each year, and it goes to international disaster relief, international education for sustainable agriculture. It helps out with clean water, refugee resettlement. They put in a lot of work last year with the hurricanes. For disaster relief. Last year, one great hour of sharing raised $2 million, and then another $3 million for specific disaster efforts, like the hurricanes. This is one of those things where it goes around the world, and we make a tremendous difference, even though we can't ever see the people that we help. This helps a tremendous number of people every single year. So if you're able and interested, please use the envelope in your bulletin, and thank you, as always, for your amazing generosity.
Are there any other announcements before we begin worship this morning? All right, in that case, Lorna would be.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. In our singing, God, be the note of joy.
In our praying, God, be the heartfelt words.
In our searching, God, be the will to endure.
In our need, God, be the source of hope.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The opening hymn is number 198, Lift High the Cross. Please remain standing for the prayer of invocation. God, please be with us this morning as we open ourselves to your love and your wholeness. Be with us as we set aside our everyday worries and concerns and concentrate on your forgiveness and loving kindness. Bless us with a reverent sense of your presence so that we may love you with all our heart, mind, and spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
If there are any young or young at heart that would like to join me, Violet.
Hello. Hi, Curtis. I'm Lizzie. Nice to meet you. Violet, did you meet Curtis? Say hi. Do you like books?
Yes.
Yes, so do we. Do you like books?
Yeah,
you do. This is one of our favorite books at home, so we're going to read it this morning for everybody. It's called Goose Needs a Hug. I'm feeling sad. I think I need... Wait! We know what will cheer you up. Let's play hide and seek. No, thank you. I just need a game of tag. You're it. No, I really need to stand on your head. That's always fun. No, I really, really need to splash in puddles. No, I very badly need a happy song. No, I need what, Goose? A hug! Well, why didn't you say so? Do you feel sad sometimes? You don't ever feel sad? Wow, that's awesome. What about you, Erin? Do you feel sad sometimes? Yeah. You're Marissa, right? Hi, nice to meet you. What about you, Marissa? Do you feel sad sometimes? What are some things that make you feel happy when you're feeling sad? A rainbow, seeing a rainbow. What else?
Flowers coming, growing in the yard.
Flowers growing in the yard. I like reading stories together when I'm feeling sad.
Talking to my granddad.
Talking to people that we love.
And when I'm sad, I give mommy a hug.
Giving someone we love a hug, just like Goose needed a hug. So there's lots of things that make us happy when we're feeling sad. What do you think? This week, if someone's feeling sad, like one of your friends at school maybe, what do you think you could do to help them feel better?
Give a hug.
Give them a hug maybe? Or what about, could you ask them what would make them feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then if you could help them, like maybe draw a picture with them? Or sing a song? What do you think? One of the things that I like to do is be with people that I love and care about. And that's something that we all do here together. We come to church so that we can all be together with people that we care about. And what's something that we do at church when we know people are feeling sad? Do we say a special prayer for them? Yeah. We pray that they remember that we love them and that we care about them and that if they're feeling sad, they feel better. And if they're feeling sick, then they feel healthy again. And that's something that we as a church all do together to help people feel better. What do you think? Do you think we could do that? Should we start right now? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us together this morning, whether we are feeling happy or feeling sad, so that we can remember that we love each other and that you love us too. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Remember me.
The first scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. Jesus calls the first disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus ministers to crowds of people. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Thus ends the reading of the first scripture.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. With me, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When preparing a sermon, I often get an idea and then do research to expand it. I look through the many books on my shelf and see what wise authors have to say on the subject or scripture that I'm trying to turn into a sermon. For this sermon, I was inspired by a UCC Still Speaking devotional. If you don't get them already, you can subscribe to the emails on the UCC website. They are short daily devotions written by members of the staff and clergy of our denomination. This particular one has stuck with me. Reverend Tracy Blackman, the UCC Executive Minister for Justice and Witness Ministries, reflected on Jesus' call for people of all walks of life to come and follow him. He instructs them to drop what they are doing and follow him in his wild and wonderful ministry. That's it. Come, follow me, and I will teach you. It is up to them to listen, to learn, and to follow. It is his call, his ministry, but he invites them along for the journey. He invites them to witness the miracles, to be a part of spreading the gospel, but not yet to lead. A woman of color herself, here is what Reverend Blackman says. The organizing skills of Jesus remind us that true movements of liberation are best led by those who are being oppressed. This is why it matters that Jesus did not come as a person of great privilege, but rather an Afro-Semitic Palestinian born on the wrong side of the tracks. It is from this context that Jesus begins a movement. It is from this context that Jesus invites others to follow. And allies begin to show up with their bodies and their gifts and their skills to follow. Her message seems so timely now. So, as is my custom, I sought advice from a book, though not one of my usual sources. The Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, or perhaps God is simply trying to reach me where I am right now, surrounded by Legos and princess dresses and children's books. We can learn a lot from children's books. They often seek to teach young kids emotional intelligence, and that is something we can all use a refresher on sometimes. Goose is sad. Instead of asking him what he needs, his friends rush to come up with ways to make him feel better. They suggest things that perhaps would make them feel better when they are feeling sad. But Goose isn't ready to be cheered up. Goose just wants his friends to be with him in his sadness. He just wants a hug. It is tempting to be like Duck and the other friends. Other people's pain makes us uncomfortable. We want to solve their problems, to take away their pain as much to ease our own discomfort as theirs. So instead of asking what we can do, what they need from us, we jump to offer suggestions of what they should do to fix their problems. In our attempt to love our neighbor as ourselves, we sometimes forget to find out what that expression of love our neighbor needs. With the best of intentions, we minimize their pain as we compare it to our own and offer them our own solutions for a problem we are not a part of. How often have we failed to listen in our rush to offer aid, failed to comfort in our rush to fix the problem? How often have we longed to share the wisdom we have gained from our own experiences and forgotten to consider how others' experiences shape their pain? How often have we acted like Duck? We do this in our everyday lives and in our role as disciples of Christ in the world. We remember that Jesus sends us out into the world to do good in God's name, but sometimes we forget that our first call is simply to follow. And so we see people of color struggling against injustices they have faced their whole lives, and we tell them how to make it better for themselves. We see the LGBTQ community under attack, and we tell them how to make themselves safe. We see synagogues and mosques vandalized, and we tell them how to pray about it. We fall into this trap in our personal lives as well. A friend is having trouble in their marriage, and we tell them what keeps our own relationship running smoothly. A parent is struggling with the realities of aging, and in our desire to help them, we forget to give them room to grieve the loss of their independence. A child is dealing with a friend moving away, and we tell them they will make new friends instead of allowing them to mourn the loss of that relationship. We are coming from a place of love, a desire for justice and peace in the world, for the happiness of our friends and family, but we aren't listening. We are jumping to suggest the things that would make us feel better, the things that would help us, the ways we would feel safer. Instead, Jesus invites us to follow. As faithful friends and family, we are called to follow the lead of our friends when perhaps instead of advice, what they need from us is just a shoulder to cry on. follow the lead of our elders to help them navigate new and intimidating transitions. Follow the lead of our children when they are struggling to learn about their difficult emotions. As disciples of Christ in the world, we are called to follow the leaders of the Jewish community who know what their people have suffered because they have suffered right alongside them. Follow the people of color who have experienced overt and covert racism all their lives and their parents' lives and their grandparents before them. Follow the LGBTQ community as it must educate and inform and normalize all so that they may simply live. Follow the Muslims who are attacked simply for sharing a faith with those who distort it for violence. Just as Jesus invited the first disciples to follow, to watch, to listen and learn, he invites us now to follow those who have been in the fight their whole lives. Too often, we lead the conversation and then are surprised when our way is met with resistance. Instead of saying, "Well, why didn't you say so?" let's try saying, "What can we do? How can we support you?" Or simply, "I'm sorry you're hurting. I'm here for you when you need me. May I give you a hug?" Because sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes that's all people are ready to accept from us. It may not seem like much. We may wish that we could do more. And sometimes we will have that chance to share our experience, to use our talents, do something real. But sometimes people just need to know that we care about them, that God loves them. Because as disciples of Christ, we are not only sharing our own love, we are sharing the message of the redeeming, unconditional love of God. The chance to lead may come, but first we are asked to do the harder task of following. Following Jesus no longer means sitting along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, of witnessing the blind's sight restored and water turned to wine. Instead, it means listening to those who are persecuted, those who are scared, those who are suffering, of offering our support to them as Christians, joining their fight, as Christians standing up for peace, justice, and love, because that is what Christ calls us to do. That is what it means to follow Jesus in the world and time we live in, to listen, to follow, and spread the message of God's redeeming love one hug at a time. Amen. have a prayer request for Lee Carvalho. He is experiencing severe back pain. We pray for his healing, for Leanne as she cares for him, for his strength, that he may feel well and come back to enjoy his traveling and all of the hard work that he does here at Pilgrim Church very soon. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? I am grateful to be here this morning. We continue to pray for Reverend Melinda and Tancred and baby Sophia as they figure out their life as a new family together. I invite you to see all of the names on our prayer list, the people whom we continue to pray for as a congregation. Let us join now together in prayer. Gracious God, be with us now as we open our hearts to you. We pray for those who are sick, those whose bodies are aching, those whose minds torment them. We pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who are cold, those who are hungry, those who are struggling and searching. May we hear their cries and answer them with an expression of your love. We pray for the children and teachers in our schools. We pray that our politicians will make wise choices to keep them safe. We pray for those who live always with fears of violence. May they find peace. Holy God, hear our prayers now, the ones on our hearts, which we cannot give voice to, and yet we know you will see. And now praying together the words which Jesus taught us, let us say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we collect our morning offering this morning, I want to remind you once again of the special envelopes for One Great Hour of Sharing. If you are able to contribute, it is a wonderful way to help the conference and the Church World Service be prepared for disasters before they have hit, so that we don't have to scramble for resources once something has happened. With generous hearts, let us give as we are able.
Your glory.
join me in our unison prayer of dedication? O God, with the daring of the early disciples, we present our offerings. Accept them as our response to Jesus' appeal to follow him. We want to give you our devotion, our time, our talents, and our commitment to faithful service. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our brother, and our friend. Amen. Light in the world. Go with God's blessing.